بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. دی لاسٹ 3.5 سپارہ آف دا قرآن شریف ڈسکس دا ٹاپکس آف قیامت اینڈ دا ریزن دا ٹاپک آف قیامت از ڈسکسڈ از بیکاز دے آر ٹو مین امپیڈیمنٹس ان دا پاتھ آف پروگرس. One is the heedlessness of the life after death. Become heedless, disregard, you just ignore that life. So I was looking at some English books. In the English culture, they made a calculated effort to scrap, na'uzubillah, the thought of the life after death. So they don't discuss it, don't talk about it. That was in the Christianity, same in Judaism, and same in other, in every other denomination. Because to the extent you have this concern that there is a life after death, there is reckoning, standing before Allah Ta'ala, then everything is going in course. But to the extent you ignore this, then everything is watered down. And strangely, this is from before. يُرِيدُ الْإِنسَانُ لِيَفْجُورَ أَمَامَهُ يَسْأَلُ أَيَّانَ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. Man wants to carry on with wrong in the life before him. So how does he do that? He makes Qiyamah like a joke, a ridicule. It's just an illusion, it's a state of the mind. That if you do good, you'll feel good mentally, and mentally feeling good is like your jannah. You do wrong and you will not feel good, and feeling very much down, depressed or traumatized, that's your jahannam. So that's how they turn people away. Yuridul insanu liyafjura amama yas'alu ayyana yawm al-qiyamah. See how it links, asking when is Qiyamah. So as though it's not a reality, it's just a state of mind. So the more you think about Qiyamah, the reality of the life after death, the more you're on course. The more there is a meaning to life, you're going towards an end. You feel a fulfillment, you feel a satisfaction. But if there is no such a thing like Qiyamah, life after death, then you're just going in circles. No end. There is no goal. There's no meaning to life. So as long as you got the idea of death, after death, then there is a meaning to life. You feel a satisfaction. That void that was in your mind, that is filled. So Allah Ta'ala, in this last 3.5 or 4 siparas, He speaks largely about Qiyamah. You see, from Qaf wal Qur'an al-Majeez, all about Qiyamah. وَالطُّور وَالنَّجْمِ إِذَا هَوَى الرَّحْمَان اِقْتَرَبَتِ السَّاعَةُ وَانْشَقَّ الْقَمَرُ. All about Qiyamah. So the reason for that was, once this concept and this reality dawns in the heart, then for them it is easy to accept the commands of Allah Ta'ala. If this reality hasn't yet dawned in the heart, then you won't find it so easy to accept. I'll explain that he starts today. See, the concept of Qiyamah, what it does to a person, and the absence of the day of Qiyamah, what it does. Say you pull out a new car, 400,000, right? And in its maiden voyage, your son, he damaged the car. How much? 150,000 rands. You'll be upset with him, right? But if that same son missed out the Fajr namaz that morning, will you be equally upset? Yeah, you'll shout him, I don't know for how long you'll shout him. 150,000 you costed him, you know. You know, the money comes from trees. Came bayans upon bayans, wastage and israf and whatever else. But if that same son missed out the Fajr namaz for that morning, you show that concern, you show that fikr, that means your yaqeen is not right. See, the Tabli Jamaat, they say, if your yaqeen right, your yaqeen is not right. This is a material loss, a material loss you can perceive. This is a loss that's on your iman. And you cannot perceive the loss that is denting your iman. The damage your iman, you can't perceive it. So when it's dented your iman, you're not worried about it. You can't perceive it, so you're not worried about it. So your iman is so weak. It's like, you know, take a board, right? And there's scratches on the board, right? And someone put an additional scratch, it's noticeable. So the heart is so filled with filth, it's an additional filth, you don't feel much about it. So that means that iman needs to go through a lot of struggle, a lot of work, before it comes right. So that is why, you see, Allah Ta'ala speaks about Qiyamah, Ar-Rahman, Iqtarabati Sa'atu wa Nshaqqa al-Qamar, right through from Qaf, right to the end. So look at this surah, La Uqsimu Biyawmi al-Qiyamah, Wa La Uqsimu Bin Nafsi al-Lawwamah. So the Quran is starting off taking an oath on Qiyamah, impressing upon us the importance of Qiyamah. So you take an oath on a thing that is of some significance and importance. You don't just take an oath on anything. Take an oath on something that is very significant, right? Something that is very important, something that is held in esteem. So Allah Ta'ala speaks about the day of Qiyamah. And bin nafsi lawwama, and again supports it with the qasam on the ever or self-reproaching soul. Soul is reproaching itself all the time. So the soul that reproaches, it reprimands, then it's dear to Allah Ta'ala, therefore Allah Ta'ala takes an oath to it. Although correcting the next person is also your duty, but the soul that is even more dear to Allah Ta'ala is the soul that is reproaching itself. But you didn't do this right. You looked at the wrong thing. You heard the wrong thing. Right? You spoke about the wrong things. Your heart was in the wrong. Right? So then you reproach it. You bring it back. You bring it back in shape. So that's the meaning of reproach. Shouting yourself, by get it right. What's wrong with you? Okay. So now the soul, call it the nafs, call it the soul, call it the ruh. But there's three levels. One is nafs ammara. So that person, he's got no concept of right and wrong. Anything comes his way, he's just doing it. Right, wrong, haram, halal, everything works. So that's the nafs ammara. That's the worst soul that you can think about. Become so oblivious that the wrong doesn't have any concern in your mind. So the iman is in a pitiable state, very, very pitiable. You go and fix the iman. Doing the wrong, but there's no feeling. You're watching wrong, but no feeling. You don't understand, you don't realize that you're denting the iman. And you're carrying on, so the iman is really beyond damage, beyond repairs. So that thing needs to get corrected. Otherwise, the iman that is sound, right, the moment there is a slight dent, it becomes noticeable. You got a brand new car, a small dent, it's noticeable, isn't it? Old junk car, not noticeable. An additional dent, what doesn't make a difference. So this iman that is sound, small little dent, it's noticeable straight away. Making tawbah, istighfar, asking Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness, getting it back to shape. Now, since we are working towards Ramadan, so we need to keep ourselves in a state that we are really ready to meet Ramadan, in the right state to meet Ramadan, so that you can take the best, and take the most. So, in order to get the most, then we need to make tawbah. And tawbah means to come back to Allah Ta'ala. You were going wrong, so you took a U-turn coming back. You understood now, you went on the wrong road, so you took a U-turn coming back onto the road. That's the whole meaning of tawbah. But Hazrat Ali Rajan says that to get this relationship with Allah Ta'ala right, there's four elements, four things that are required to get this Tawbah right. See, in all that we do, we should get it supported by the elders. We also talk about Ali radiallahu anhu, talk of our elders. They understood deen, they went through the path, they understood it, so much of experience that went into it. And they made it simply, simple, presentable to us. And we don't want this, but to go and examine ourselves. Imagine a person who had a heart attack, right? Now, you must go and experiment now. What options I got, and let me see now. Let me go and see what it means to do a heart operation. Let me study the whole thing. You study the thing and become a heart specialist, it'll take 15 years. Right? Study medicine, then need to specialize. And then when he's died, he can't manage it. It's called a heart problem. So it was by where I see some results, I must just go on that way and move on with my life. Studying this thing is too difficult. So similarly, those that have showed the way, they have gone, see the whole life, steady, consistent, they have showed the entire way, they have presented it to us, they have learnt it from Rasulullah Pak Sosan, presented it to us, so take it from them and go on. So Ali Rahman says that there's four elements in getting the Tawbah right. One is nadamat, remorse. So remorse means that you must acknowledge the wrong for you to be remorseful. But if you didn't acknowledge, will you be remorseful? Hey, why is he shouting me? What wrong have I done? Shouting, what wrong have I done? See, he is not recognizing the wrong, so he doesn't show remorse. He feels a little bit upset. As why are these people shouting at me? What wrong have I done? Nothing wrong. So what's the need for these people shouting at me? So the first step is remorse. It means acknowledge. Recognize the wrong. So this is about the most difficult thing in this era, that we don't want to recognize the wrong. For anything, everything, there must be a cover-up story. We have a cover-up story, and as though that cover-up story is going to work everywhere. So the right thing is by recognize the wrong, be simple, be straightforward, come to Allah and say, no, I have wrong. You know, complicate things, you're not going to get anywhere nearer. You'll distance yourself even more. You'll make the matters more and more complicated. See, I told one person, you know, there's something is wrong in your life. Something that went off. My feeling is that you're not reading Quran Sharif as you're supposed to be reciting. You're not doing things like you're supposed to be doing. You're not making talim. So he ignored me. Sometime after a year, he said, I went off. He came today. He's crying one way. He can't control himself. Had I heard you then I wouldn't have been so far backwards. 1 year I just refused. I was on the denial. So I went 1 year backwards. Not in Quran Sharif, no zikr, no talim, everything went off. I told him that you're looking at something wrong. Mentioned to him. Now he tells me after 1 year that I have been doing all these things here. And I thought, well, one of those things, I'll just leave it out. And he dragged and dragged and dragged for 1 year. After 1 year now, I'm coming to my senses. But now, had he just listened then at that point, it would have been 1 year forward. Now, he didn't have the heart to listen at that time, and he went 1 year backwards. So, it's such an easy thing by some elder tradition, by listen. Even if it is just 1%, it's making a big story, but listen to him, there'll be some good in that. Some good will come out of it. So, the first point Allah Pak wants is recognize, acknowledge. So second point is, then make a resolution that I'm not going to do this Quran again. It's with Allah Ta'ala, you're resolving and you are promising Allah Ta'ala. Right? وَكَانَ أَهْدُ اللَّهِ مَسْئُولًا. When you are promising Allah Ta'ala, then you must remember that you're going to be answerable for this. I'm owing you, say, 1,000 rands, right? And we've got a good relationship and you have good regards for me. And how will I honor the 1,000 rands? I would honor you. Say, like, I don't want this relationship to snap for this lousy 1,000 lands. Won't you say that? And before that time, I'll give you the 1,000 lands. Won't it happen? Now, you've made a resolution with Allah Ta'ala that I'm not going to do this again. And then in 5 minutes, you're doing it again. 10 minutes time, you're doing it again. So it's a joke, that tawbah of yours, that istighfar of yours, like a tawbah, like a joke. Muftizab rahmatullahi alayhi, to give one bayan amongst the masturat, the woman. So it was after the program, it was nearly namaz time, and one young child was accompanying Muftizab rahmatullahi alayhi to the masjid. So on the return, the father or the grandfather says, that is bachche ko zara nasihat karo, isko samjhao, ye bahut paise mangta hai, just advise this child here, don't always trouble us, give us 1 rupee 2 rupee 1 rupee 2 rupee. Small child, 5-7 years of age. So Musab said, hey, toba karo, aainda paise mangenge nahi, don't ask for money. So he said, toba, he held his ears, aainda kabhi to paise mangenge nahi. Not even 10 minutes passed. So he goes back to his father, nudges his shoulder. Abba, ab to maine toba kar li, ab to rupya de do. Na me toba, na give you 2 rupees now. See, it's a joke. You made it a joke with Allah Ta'ala. Wa kana ahdullahi masula. Now you are promising Allah Ta'ala, but it's not any person. It's not any ordinary person that you are talking to. I made a wrong, Allah Ta'ala, do forgive me. So how firm you need to be on that. So this is the second element in Tawbah. See, you want a nice, enjoyable relationship with Allah Ta'ala. And you want it to last. You want it to just grow from strength to strength. You don't want any interruption in that. You just want it to grow from strength to strength. So then it requires something. You want the foundation to be strong. You want the columns to be strong. You want the slab to be right, right? So there are some procedures. If you follow the procedures by the will of Allah Ta'ala, it will be right. But you didn't follow the procedures, you didn't put the right amount of steel, or the concrete mix wasn't right. Another thing is collapsing. You know, who is to blame? You are to be blamed. You didn't get that thing right, and that thing is collapsing now. So you have to fix it up again. Now it's double job. So the right thing is to make a resolve. I made a mistake. So that I do ask for forgiveness, and I resolve I won't do this again. You come out to Allah Ta'ala and you make a firm resolution. A resolution is a resolution. A promise is a promise. The third point in this program of Tawbah is whatever correction and remedial is required, you do the correction. I'm owing you R1,000,000, so I avoided you for 1 year. Now Ramadan comes, say, hey, man, I messed it up, I'm owing you R1,000,000. And I haven't paid you, so let me at least ask you for a maaf. So I asked you for a maaf, so it's maaf. But the R1,000,000, you must sign up maaf for stretching me like this and dragging me. But that R1,000,000, that is not forgotten. Man. The delay is forgiven, but the R1,000,000 is not forgotten. What do you say that? So the third point in this program is the correction, whatever correction it requires. I shouted you, I abused you, insulted that person, I spoke ill against him. So whatever is required to correct the situation, correct it. So if you are wanting that relationship with Allah Ta'ala, then do the corrections. If you are really interested in having a smooth and a good relationship with Allah Ta'ala, then do the corrections. See this third point, right? Today I have to speak to the Hizb Ustaz, you know. So, I have to think now what to talk to them, what to speak to them about. So I explained to them, see, we are living in a minority, right? Muslim minority. So we may be 5% of the entire country, or maybe less, or slightly more, right? Now, we've got two things to do as a minority. We've got two things. One is to preserve ourselves, right? And number two is to promote. Because you can only be preserved if you promote also. But if you're not promoting, then slowly that capital of yours just gets depleted. And you want your capital to keep growing, so you need to promote and preserve. And if you don't do one of these two things, then you'll vanish. So you need to preserve, you need to promote. You got R1,000,000, you left it for 50 years. It's fayda hoga. I think after 50 years it lost its value. Now it may be 50,000 then. What you could do then with R1,000,000, after 50 years now, you can do it 50,000 then. Same thing. So that thing depreciates, right? So now explain them. See, since we are in a minority, we need to understand that we have got a culture of our own. And we've got a culture of our own, then we need to respect and preserve our culture. So we have to tell the dear schools, okay, dear school, see, my child is coming to you to learn how to make money. That's all. What? To make money. That's why he's coming to school. He'll become an architect or a doctor or whatever. Why? To learn to make money. That's all. But you don't teach him about my beliefs. You don't teach him about my culture. And you don't teach him about character. That my Allah Ta'ala will do, my Rasulullah Pasim will do, and my Sahaba and elders will do. That we will do that. You just teach him how to make money. 2 + 2 = 4. 4 × 2 = 2, right? You teach him that much, that's all. We cut off at that point. But now, the school overplayed its part. You know how it overplayed its part? It began to transgress into your faith. And how they transgressed, how they trespassed into your faith, they began to teach you about evolution, Darwinism, Big Bang, right? And they made it like such an important thing, 30, 40, 50% of your marks is on that. So for that child to pass in that, he needs to learn that. And arguments are presented so beautifully that the child is hypnotized at that moment. He takes on those beliefs. So what has happened? Is his faith the same or is it dented? Sometimes dented beyond repairs. Right. We haven't sent him, but you must teach him culture. Now the school overplayed its part and taught the child arts and culture, right? That's become the subject in schools. So he's teaching the child how to dance, right? Arts and culture, right? He's teaching the child music, right? It's teaching the child sports, right? These three things, right? So that's a pure kafir culture, right? Sports, entertainment, and excitement. Women, dance, play around, clubbing, shaking hands, right? Dancing with the music, all that. What is that? It's pure kafir culture, right? So when they taught your child all these things here, I ask you, have they made inroads into your culture? Now with time, what will happen to your culture? The thing that will happen to your culture will be that you will forsake yours, you will leave yours, and you will hold on to this. Now, how does it happen? Let me show you how it happens, right? So, we all in the mess, and we all need to correct, think of ways how to correct, rectify. So the Jummah, the Friday, will show it in 3 days, a normal day, and the Sunday will show some type of significance. Are we guilty of that or not? Friday, one normal business day. Sunday is an important day. It's my outing, my family, all that. All the respect we will show to the Sunday, which stems from Christianity, right? But we will show all the respect to the Sunday, and the Friday is treated like nothing, absolutely nothing. One working day, now what else? So what's the big deal about it? See, does it happen or doesn't it happen? I ask you again, right? That nearly all of us be guilty of this. At the turn of the new year, aren't we already aware? From a week or 2 weeks in advance, New Year's coming. Yeah? Until New Year's night, right? What happens? Most people, I would say 80-90% of people are recognizing, identifying this thing. Now compare this against the first of Muharram, How many of us know, or at least is our year starting? I say, are we doing justice to ourselves or pure injustice? So the child was watching, Muharram is not an important thing, the new year is an important thing. Because if Muharram was an important thing, my father would have spoken about it, my mother would have spoken about it. They are talking about the new years. They are not talking about Muharram. See how they made inroads into us. You did not realize, did not take cognizance that you were in the minority, and you just dropped your guards, they drove into you, and now you think that they are part of, that you are part of them. You think that you are part of them. I ask you, are we guilty of this or not? Right? Then slowly their celebrations, one celebration after the other. First they talk so innocently, Valentine's. Valentine's was just about love, you know. So wear that red shirt or that red dress or something, so show some love. So one thing comes innocently, slowly, innocently it comes in. How innocently it comes. And then it attacks you. Hey, this was such an exciting event. I must go into New Year's also, I must go into Good Friday as well. Do some celebrations on Christmas, see, it's so exciting. So your days of the year, you've forgotten. Muharram you have forgotten, Mi'raj you have forgotten. Eid, you don't show it the respect, right? So if you show respect then to all their things, and your things has got forgotten by the way. You are identifying. You are showing the respect, you are showing that esteem. So then, you may say very well that I have got nothing to do with Christianity, but then are you in Islam as well? You not in Christianity, but you are doing all the things of a Christian, and are you in Islam? Are you in Islamful, and or are you in Christianity? Are you somewhere in between? You're walking in between, not this side, and not on that end. Right? See this weekend how it spoils, how it corrupts our minds. So the child is going there, getting exposed to all this culture. Culture is going, is turning around. His value system is going around. His faith is turning around, right? So we are so deep into this, so we can't take you, Mr. School, but you must just give us money. For the money, we can give you our iman, we can give you our values, we can lose our culture, but just give us money, that's all. We don't want anything else. We just want money, and in lieu of that money, we'll give you iman, we'll take your daven, we'll take your culture, your dance and arts, we'll take that, we'll take your music and all that, we'll take your sports, but just give us money. But is that the price to pay? So we need to understand, and we need to tell the school, see, school, you are here just for this. Nothing beyond this. You don't shape my iman, don't shape my culture, don't shape my values. The hadith is speaking about a Friday. A Friday is a radiant day. The night, a brilliant night. Right. The day, brilliant, night, bright, right? And the same thing that the hadith is speaking about, a brilliant and a bright and a radiant day, and you're calling it a black day. Can you see? Nabi Sam is here, sitting on the mimbar, and he says, Friday is a brilliant day, is a night, a bright day. And you are sitting on the down, on the ground, saying, yeah, Nabi Sam, but this Friday is a black Friday. I said, is it on? You're going in diverse. Kunna taraika qidada, diverse ways. And then the irony is you don't feel the wrong to be wrong. Wrong, and then we don't consider the wrong to be wrong. How serious we make this. So what needs to be done is we recognize. So I say that the second point is to resolve. And the third point in this Tawbah program is to do the correction. Whatever correction it requires. A Muslim is not one to feel despondent and depressed. Yes, a Muslim will work out a way. He'll work out a way. I need to sell something. How must I work it? You know, that's the definition of a Muslim. I need to get this. How must I sell this product? So he's not one to get despondent and depressed. I don't, one old chacha friend, Haji Patel sir. Right. So he'll come and give us old days, you know, olden days stories, nice, you get entertained, Gujarati, and he's talking a tone, and she'll really make it interesting. So he was somewhere in Akernoff, very prosperous, good, nice, humble, simple person to work with. So I say that a Muslim is the one that doesn't fall into depression and despondency, he will work way through. So now when they came and settled, it was 1910, 1920, they settled the Ikarov. So now, the whole business turned towards him. All these Afrikaner people, all that, they got their shops. People are leaving their shops and coming to his shop, the Muslim shops that are there. Now the Muslim shops are making business and their shops are falling down. So they said, hey, we need to make a put a commission of inquiry. What's the additional thing we are doing and we aren't doing? Why are they prosperous? Why aren't we prospering? So anyway, they had a whole commission. The people in the government, whatever, maybe in the town's office, whatever. So there were a couple of selected persons, ordinary clothing, so nobody can recognize them. And they went to one Boer's shop, crockery shop. So equal for equal, they went to one Boer's crockery shop. We need some cups and saucers, dinner plates and all that. So the manager showed him, see that one day is 2 rand, those days are 9 tens, one is 3 rand, this is 5 rand. Alright, this one here, finish. They spent about 5 minutes there and they gone. Now they walked a few steps and they found a Muslim shop. Incidentally, the boss was out, his 12-year-old child was attending. So he saw his old Boer kafla coming, and the car, they came in a car. So he went and received them, manure, you know, buy a varam, very hot day. Brought out chairs for them. Let them sit down. Buy a varam, some big cold drink, you know, take some cold drink. Make them feel very nice. Yes, now after they relax now, can I help you? So they came for some crockery, cups and saucers, cutlery, etc. So he put out a Dastar Khan, he took out about 20 sets and ate it down. Each one of them bought about 5 sets of the event. They had no intention to buy, but the way the youngster laid it out for them, that they were forced to buy 5 sets each. See? So a Muslim is not the one to feel despondent and depressed. He'll need to think now, legally, within the confines of the legal program, how can I do my thing? I need to do my thing, but how must I do it? He will be constantly making that figure, I need to get this right, I need to get this right. How must I do it right? How must I get it right? And you trust in Allah Ta'ala, and you work, Allah Ta'ala creates an opening. Just that you trust in Allah Ta'ala, and you work, you go on working, and at that opportune moment, Allah Ta'ala will create an opening, and you will get your things done. Auf ibn Malik Ashja'i radiallahu anhu. He was taken as a captive. So his parents came from the Bisasan complaining. He was taken as a captive. Mother and me, the child's mother and me, were in distress now, Ya Rasulullah. The Bisasan just gave two advices. Observe taqwa. In other words, don't do anything, don't say anything that could amount to displeasure of Allah Ta'ala, and recite La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah in abundance. Don't do anything that will amount to the displeasure of Allah Ta'ala, number one. And number two, recite La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah in abundance. He hardly started, 1 week not even passed. This child, he herded a whole herd of flock of goats. He brought it, came, he saw them, they were busy in something else. He got the goats, 100, 200, and he drove them, came back. Qazi Sanaullah Panipati rahmatullahi, in his tafsir al-Masri, he writes about this whole incident. He says it's an experience of the mashayikh that this la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah is very, very, very effective. But recite it with yaqeen, 100 times durood sharif before, 100 times at the end, and in between la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, and after that make dua sincerely. But they found it very effective to get your things done. So we go up these doors, why don't we tap at these doors? So the remedial, whatever remedial is required, owing someone sort him out. You hurt someone, try and correct that. 1 cent or 1 billion cents. But if it is that there's something that is not attend, not paid out, not settled, and you have to settle it, get it right. You're coming to Ramadan, and you want now from the beginning of Ramadan, you want the mercies of Allah Ta'ala just to flourish, just to rain on you in abundance. So to get that, the passages need to be right. Passages are not right, then how would you want the mercy of Allah Ta'ala to flourish upon you? So this is the third point. The third point is do the remedial, the correction. Whatever correction is required, get that done. You want the jet to move, then fix it up. It's come to the airport, fix it up, whatever technician you require to engage him and get it fixed up. Otherwise it can't do that. It can't do what you want it to do. It's not fixed up. So same, you want that accent to Allah Ta'ala. So get your machinery right, your Tawbah machinery, get it right. You want the accent, but you don't want to get the machinery right. How must it happen? Doesn't it happen? You've got the jet here, and you want it to rise up, right? But you don't want to fix it up. The technician will say, you haven't fixed it up. So you can't do the journey. So, no, I'll just do it. You can't do it. Don't we apply our minds? That I'm going to risk my life for the life of the passengers. I need to get this thing sorted out. Whatever it takes, I must sort it out. So same, you want that accent to Allah Ta'ala, Ramadan, then get it sorted out. Whatever it takes. Even if you have to either humble yourself, get someone's mouth, pay the person, or tell him what will be the payment program. I don't have it now. Inshallah, within a few months, I will sacrifice all my comforts. I will do this. And you see, the help of Allah will definitely come to you. So that's the third thing. Namaz is left. He's sorting your namaz out. Rozas are left. So he's sorting that out. And the fourth aspect in this Tawbah program is the area or the place or the person where the wrong took place. Then you desert yourself. You move yourself away. Person or the area or the place where you committed the wrong, then move away. And this is so natural, it's so practical and natural. Allah Ta'ala forbid, if your child got involved in a bad company that led him into drugs and all that, right? Then you will first discourage him, right? Firmly discourage him. And side by side you will tell him, if I see you going with that company, I'll break your legs. Won't you do that? Because you know that company is the thing that lured the child into drugs. The child will become an addict. I need to get him going in life. Nobody will accept him as their son-in-law. I need to get this child right. If they only hear that he was in drugs, all my chances to get him to a good home will all be nil. So I need to see that the place and the person which led him to the wrong, he must keep himself far away from that. See that? So this 4 points, you've got the 4 points, now your Tawbah is perfect. When Tawbah is perfect, now at-ta'ibu habibullah. Now you become the friend of Allah Ta'ala. Now you've got a relationship with Allah Ta'ala. Now you're asking for things and things are happening. Things are working out for you because you're bonded with Allah Ta'ala. So you're bonded with Allah Ta'ala. You've got a relationship with Allah Ta'ala and you're seeing things happening. You feel the satisfaction. See? Like you come home, right? And you've got a good relationship with your family. So don't you feel the satisfaction? Don't you feel the fulfillment? Otherwise, there's so many cases you hear, whether wealthy or not wealthy, but so many cases that the husband is living in one room and the wife is living in another room. And ultimately, when you talk to the mota in the masjid, you think, hey, what a beautiful life they're living. Like in kabar ka hal murda jana. What's happening in the grave, only the dead knows. We don't know. On the outside, it looks so nice, rosy. When you go to a kafir kabristan, so much of rose and some of the stone works and all that, right? So it looks so fancy and so attractive. But kabar kahal murda jane. What's going on inside the grave? Ask the dead what's going on. So we are talking about the day of Qiyamah. وَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِالنَّفْسِ اللَّوَّامَةِ That the heart is reproaching you. So the Muslim's mind is not at ease. until he has not bonded. Like I say, you came home and your wife is not happy with you. Do you feel the satisfaction? You can see, you know, your child is turned away. Wife is not talking nicely. Face is pulled up. So do you feel comfortable? You don't feel comfortable. You want to bond or what? What's the grey areas? How do I rectify it? Is the grey areas to, what type of medium is put to get the thing right? That's the concern now, you know. It's a concern. I must get it right. How must I get it right? So isn't that a primary concern? So if that relationship with the wife is something important and significant, then the relationship with Allah Ta'ala, think about it, right? Just think about the relationship of Allah Ta'ala. This Ka'b ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, when they were boycotted for that 50 days, he says the boycott was one thing, but my greater concern was, say if I die within this period, then they don't read my namaz. And if Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has to pass away within this 50 days, then I'll be an outcast for the rest of my life. So that was a primary concern. See this. So this, I can see now that relationship has snapped. Now I need to mourn. Now I need to get these things right. How must I get it right? So I tell my friends, "Hey, rather pay the 50 rand, 50,000 rand, 500,000, a little bit more, than pay a little bit less. The fight now to get through that fight, hey, take more and carry on. Let the peace prevail." I don't say that. But be so humble that people eat you up. Take precautions for the future. But now, to avoid the fight is a more important, more significant thing. To avoid a fight, to avoid an argument, it's a more significant thing. The person is dragging into an argument, into a fight, into a control, right, take the money and go. If that is what makes you happy, take it, carry on. But the same thing, I don't say that they mustn't sell you. They say one python, that thing took bear to that sheikh, you know. So the sheikh, in the words of bear, said, "Mustn't hurt anybody." So the sheikh came around after 1 year to see that python. It got dents, damages here, everywhere, bleeding this side here, scar that side, dented this side. So the sheikh is asking the python, "Why, you know, but why, when I came the first time, it was so smooth and nice and shaped very well. I got dents here, damages here, scars here, bleeding this side. What happened?" But he said, "Hazrat, you told me you mustn't hurt anybody. I mean, I don't hurt anybody. They come here and stoning me, hurting me, taking me, throwing me. So I must bleed like this." So the sheikh said, "See, I told you not to hurt, but I didn't tell you not to scare them off. So when they come to hurt you, you must scare them. Just put your head up, go like you're going for them. So they'll all run away." The idea is not that you become so simple that they eat you up, but not so possessive that, "No, I must get my last cent, you know. I won't part until I don't get the last cent." But that person is acting so petty. Must we act very petty because of him? Alright, we got all, most of it, I don't forget the rest, khalas. Allah doesn't have one avenue to give. He's got millions and millions of avenues to give. If one avenue closed, another one avenue open up. So why must we become so petty? So we're speaking about this, وَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِالنَّفْسِ اللَّوَّامَةِ. And that's the soul that Allah Pak loves. See about the soul we're talking, right? أَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَعْوَىٰ. You fear Allah Ta'ala, the trial of Allah Ta'ala, and you're holding yourself back. What? Two things Allah Pak wants. You fear that you're going to stand before Allah Ta'ala, and you restrain. So these are the two things. You stand, you know, you're standing before Allah Ta'ala. So you restrain yourself. So he says, Allah says, then what? فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَعْوَىٰ. Then your destination is Jannat. All I want from you is, you must recognize that you're standing before me. Understanding when you stand before me. The more this thought that you're going to stand before me is real, it's real in you, it becomes a reality, the more you're going to hold back. And if that thought just becomes a dream, just an idea, then the day you want to do it, you'll do it. The day you don't want to do it, you won't do it. But if this thing becomes a reality, then your whole behavior, your whole outlook will change. So now, we're talking about restraining the soul. And as you restrain the soul, then your entry is going. Hold, and you're getting your entry. Right? So the soul has got three levels, right? Of restrain, of taqwa, of restrain. There's three levels. The entry level is iman. Without iman, you can't get anywhere. So you restrain yourself from disbelief, shirk, disbelief, all the main things, you are restraining yourself. So this is the primary level, like an entry level to Jannat. You don't have that, you can't get Jannat at all. Forget, no Jannat. So at the entry level, see that your iman is not dented. And in this day and age, I say, by at least come to the point, come to the party, that consider the wrong to be wrong, and the right to be right. Don't, for Allah's sake, don't justify. Bring interest, no, but that Mullah said, and this one said, I leave all that now. But you're going to stand before Allah Ta'ala. And before Allah Ta'ala, your excuses are not going to work. So, consider the right as right, and the wrong as wrong. You know, I was just looking at the hadith. We hear repeatedly that person who became a hafiz, and his father will be crowned, right, on the day of Qiyamah. And he'll have the honor of taking 10 Jahannamis. But that hadith comes with a condition, it's conditional. The condition is provided the halal you count as halal, and the haram you count as haram. Now, you're not recognizing this condition, but you want the reward. Right? The father told the child, you come with 5 A's, you do matric, come with 5 A's, and I promise you the milk. So he did matric, he got no A's, but he wants the milk. Is he right? So say, now we did the hijj, but we're not concerned about halal and haram, but we want the jannat. Now, is that right for us to demand? Is it right for us to demand that Allah, I must be honored also to be able to intercede for 10 people? So get the condition right, and you must get the reward thereafter, inshallah, with the grace of Allah Ta'ala. So this half a thing, it doesn't work out. So we're going to give Allah Ta'ala half the price and get the full reward. See? So the first entry level is get the iman right. Don't let that iman be dented with anything. No matter how far you have drifted away to the wrong, but don't let your iman be dented. And you see your iman is getting caught, is getting dented, and move away. See, if it's a place where you will not be able to show the respect to that iman as is desired, then gently move away. So the hadith says, "Man kathara su'ada qawmin fahuwa minhum." You add to the splendor, to the numbers of a people, then you'll be counted amongst them. Now, Bukhari Sahib Rahmatullahi, he brings this title, after that he brings an incident, that some people were weak, right? And the requirement in the earlier days is when a person accepted Islam, then he had to give up his residence in Makkah, Mukarrama, and move on to Medina Munawwara. That was the requirement. Because you couldn't practice your faith freely here. You can't. You do it now, you conceal, you can't do your things openly. So the requirement for the acceptance of your faith is move away. So some of these people, somehow when the Badr or the Uhud took place, and they were dragged, pulled out of their homes, and you side, you support us in the battle against the Muslims. So living in Makkah Mukarrama, living under the auspices of the Kufar. So when this battle took place, now you are dragged, you're coming here. Now they got no intention to fight against their brother Muslims, but they dragged out of their houses. And some of them were killed in this war. They came on this end, so the war, the battle ensued, and they were killed. So Allah Ta'ala reprimands them. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَوَفَّاهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ ظَالِمِ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Their souls were taken in a state where they were wrong. They were wrong. What business had you to be with them? Alright, you were not fighting with them, but didn't you add to the splendor of these people, to the splendor of this army? تَوَفَّاهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ ظَالِمِ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Alright, you were not fighting against the Muslim, but didn't you add to the splendor, to the greatness, to the strength of this kufar? Didn't you add to that? So, even to bring about splendor to this wrong festival, wrong things, that also is not acceptable. You may say that, no, I didn't go and celebrate. When West Street was showing the Christmas lights, I didn't go to celebrate with the kuffar. I just went to admire the lights. I know in our childhood, people would see the West Street lights, right? Labang Degas Maaf, all the jahil things we were doing at that time. Right? But you going through at that time, I ask you, aren't you adding to the splendor? Aren't you adding to that roll-up of these people? So, don't allow anything to dent your iman, slightly or big. But the iman is too precious. Iman is like, you know, if, you know, in our day-to-day life, you know, one is, I am working for you. So, you've got a contract. I'm in your employ. You have accepted to take me as an employee, and you'll be my employer, right? So that's iman. Now, can you allow anything to dent the relationship when you need the job? Can you allow anything to dent that? So iman is so precious. I don't want to dent the relationship. I may just lose the job just now. So iman, anything that's coming on the way of iman, but just remove it. Move it this side, right way, left, just move it out. Don't allow that iman to be dented at any time. One Muslim, see how people, how they act, right? So he's enlisted in the British army, in the time of the British in India. So Muslim, but he's enlisted, he's an army personnel, right? He used to be a clean-shaven person. So the British introduced a law that those that wish to continue serving us will have to shave off the beards. Right. Up to this point, he used to shave his beard, and the other soldiers, Muslim soldiers, would taunt him. What's wrong with you? Why don't you keep a beard? Right. Up to this point, they would taunt him, right? But when the British started off with this, that those that wish to retain their jobs, they must shave off their beards, then all these people that are taunting, they shave off their beards. And he at this point says, you know, up till now, I had shaved off my beard, that was my own musti, my own wrong. But now they are coming against my faith. Now they can stick the job. I said, they can stick the job. I'll be better without the job. My faith is not so cheap. My iman is not so cheap. They are attacking my iman. And for this couple of coppers, I must go and give away my iman. No, I'm not prepared for that. See, when you come to the crunch, then that iman shows out. Before that, you can say, no, my iman is very strong. I got muhabbat for a reason. But when you come to the crunch, then it is to be seen, that are you true in your love, in your faith, in your loyalty? Are you there or not? So this is the entry level. Now then, you get an advanced level, secondary level, right? The secondary level for this requires that you leave out not only the haram, but those things that can lead you to haram. One is haram, and one is the things that can lead you to haram. Right? One youngster came to me, from the university, I think the 40th or 50th year, medicine he's doing. So he tells me, you know, I was just going browsing, I wanted some information, so I was browsing to internet, whatever, WhatsApp or whatever. And whilst I'm browsing for some information, the picture of a naked girl came. He says, now it's 2 weeks that have passed, but my heart is smashed down. The motivation, the drive, the morale for doing good is just broken in me. Just one sight, and this is what he's done to me. I don't have the drive. Now I have to push myself for namaz, for fajr, for Quran Sharif, everything. I have to push myself. Before it was just smooth, it was just flowing. And now one sight into this, and then smashed down. See. So this secondary level requires that anything that's got the potential to damage you, then you break it, destroy it, khalas. My relationship with my Allah Ta'ala is too precious. This thing mustn't come and damage that. No matter what I lose thereafter, I'm not concerned. If my relationship with Allah Ta'ala is something that is precious, something that I have to look after, then I can give the things up. And I must give it up. It's not a big deal from my side. It's kachraya. And this kachraya, I must risk my relationship with Allah Ta'ala. No, I can't do this. For this kachraya, for this dirt, for this filth, my relationship with my Allah Ta'ala, I must damage because of this filth. See? So this is the secondary level. One is those areas that got the potential to take you. And you don't say, no, if it's just one separate, once off. You don't say that. You know, if you had an encounter, a hold up, then you say, no, it was only once. We take all the precautionary measures after that. What happened? See? If it was, for example, it was AIDS, right? And contaminated AIDS water, right? And you have messed up. And you know that they put you into a program, you come right after 1 year or 2 years, you come right, right? Will you go and experiment? Oh, it's only one off, once off. Will you take that chance? Because it took you 2 years to recuperate. Now, will you take a chance again? So that means you don't have a yaqeen. And if you have the yaqeen, then you would have taken that area worse than that AIDS contaminated water. But because you don't have the yaqeen, you're experimenting again, second time, third time, fourth time, until when your iman is beyond repairs, now you come up, you want to come for a correction. See? So the area that can lead you to that destruction, you leave that out, no matter what happens. Our muhaddithin say, see, when the Bishan would accept people for bayat, so there was one line that he would teach people, إِذَا أَمَرْتُكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ فَأَتُوا, I can't remember the exact words, بِهِ مَسْتَطَعْتُمْ. When I command you, then do as much as you can. وَإِذَا نَهَيْتُكُمْ عَنْ شَيْءٍ فَاجْتَنِبُوا. Right? So look at it, just look at the words. When I command you, then you do as much as you can, right? But when I prevent you, I stop you, then you stop altogether. So that means the Nabi Sam's concern for you to refrain from the wrong was greater than you applying yourself onto good, right? That is important. But the concern about you refraining from the wrong is far more. He didn't say, refrain from this as much as you can. Did he say that? وَإِذَا نَهِيْتُكُمْ عَنْ شَيْءٍ فَاجْتَنِيبُ. When I ask you to leave out something, then just leave it out. Then don't say, no, I can't leave it out altogether now and then I watch. Someone asked, you know, what is more dangerous, to set a light to a house or to put a small lighted cigarette end into your wardrobe? What is more dangerous? What do you say? Huh? Both are dangerous. That thing also can turn into inferno. It's got the potential. You know about it. You're not going to sleep knowing that there is a small lighted cigarette end in your wardrobe, clothing wardrobe, when you sleep. You're not going to sleep. You know the potential is what. So therefore, Nabi is saying, وَإِذَا نَهَيْتُكُمْ عَنْ شَيْءٍ فَاجْتَنِبُوا. When I ask you to leave out something, just leave it out entirely. But the one that is commanding, he knows what he's saying. He knows the potential in it. So similarly, things that are of a doubtful character, you leave that out as well. See the second level. Yaqub Karkhi rahimahullah. We're talking about improving a relation, high and a strong relationship with Allah. You want that, right? Like I said, if your car needs repairs, right, and you need to travel to Cape Town, you're not going to just travel, you repair that thing, see it's right. Because midway, you don't want a problem. Travel to Narasburg, you're stuck now. You don't want a problem. You want to see it's right. Now you want a relationship with Allah, are you fixing yourself? Ramadan is approaching, are you fixing yourself? Go Umrah, go here, by what is it? Not to make tahqeer of this, but first things come first. Get yourself fixed up first. Get yourself, if you need to get yourself fixed up, get yourself fixed up. Then you draw from that place. But this thing is not fixed up and you're going. So Yaqub Qarqi, he says, a great saint of his time, in his youth, say, one day I saw, hey, the drive in me is all broken down. I don't have a drive, no motivation, being slack, being lazy. I can't, I have to push myself to do things. Now, to bring about some direction within me, I began to fast. Keep some rosas. Now, on one of those days that I kept that fast, I was in the presence of Hazrat Bahauddin Naqshbandi rahmatullahi azbahim. And before I could say anything, he asked me to join up in the meals. This other mehman there, so you join up. I am fasting. And before I could say anything, so he says to me, you know, eating is better than a contaminated fast. Eating is better than a contaminated fast. A fast has got a contamination of pride. Two words have been used. Pride or self-admiration. Oh, I am like this. I am this. I saw this dream. And I saw that dream. So I am like this. So eating is better than a contaminated fast. So I thought to myself that that chore, what a pakra, a thief, he caught the thief. In that day, that was the style. I was forthright, I came out, I messed it up. I didn't correct myself, but now I need correction to tell me how to correct myself. See. These people became so big, buzrugs. Why? They acknowledged that first point. You know, I spoke about the Tawbah program, Nadamat. So they showed that Nadamat. And they understood that in the correction, you need the work of a technician. Can you fix up your car? For a small thing like a car, you need the services of a technician. Now this thing is so discreet. The spiritual things are so discreet. I can fix it up myself. I don't need anybody's assistance. I can do it myself. Now here he's fasting, and after some years he's discovering that I got a chore there. And the chore is self-admiration and pride. See that? See that? So you want people to talk about you, what you did, let's talk about you. And if someone else is being praised about in your presence, you feel hurt. So they must talk only good about you, and they mustn't talk about the good of the next person. And more important, when it's people of the same profession, right? It's a builder now, I'm talking about this builder here, to this builder, a man's face is right down. Where does he stand a chance before me? They're not talking anything about me, they're talking about him. You know, my work is so good. Not even one word of applause, no praise, nothing. Only to talk about him. So you see this. Allah knows about the chore, the thief that's within. So Yaqub Qarqi says, I made out that I got the chore within me. Self-admiration, I got the pride in me. So anyway, I went for the correction and all that. But together with that, I asked the Shaykh, Bahauddin Naqshbandi rahmatullah, I asked him, if I come across a time where I don't find that type of Shaykh, you know, who you call Fani Fillah and Baqi Billah, right? Fani Fillah and Baqi Billah means small explanation, right? That's an explanation on its own. But you reach that level of righteousness, right, that the good becomes like natural. The evil becomes, you know, to shun that evil becomes like natural, like how you would disgust number two and urine, right? How you disgust, you don't go any near. So zina, music, wrong things, all becomes so disgustful to you. Naturally, you've got this kind of aversion to it. You know, it's so difficult for you to get into it. So that's that last level. And you are the secondary level. Now in the secondary level, he's working against all these things here. So here you can't get this thing right without the supervision of a sheikh. That you need the relationship, correct it, he needs to smash you down, correct, smash, correct. Then you come right. But now you want to do it yourself, like I say, you want to go and fix up your plane yourself, your car yourself, you can't do it. You really can't do it. You want to make it worse. Small, simple thing like a car you can't fix, maybe you want to fix yourself up. Then you're truthful. For your car you're truthful because you know my plane is gone. But your jannat is getting affected, are you truthful? So I say the problem is yaqeen. If you got the yaqeen of jannat, then you won't find it a problem to go and get yourself fixed up. But the yaqeen of jannat is not there, then so no, I can do it myself. The car, I can fix up myself. Do you have the same understanding? So that yakin is off. Yakin is not right. So anyway, I spoke to the Sheikh Bahauddin Naqshbandi rahmatullah alayh. Says, you know, you don't find a person like this now, and I need to get myself corrected. What must I do? So he said, alright, you do two things. One is make istighfar in abundance. Ask Allah to ask forgiveness in abundance. But like I said, istighfar tawbah requires showing remorse. The wrong, show the remorse. Rectify yourself. Make a resolve, right? That's istighfar what it requires. And most of them do so 20 times after every namaz. Because the hadith says that Nabi Sam also himself used to make istighfar at least 100 times a day. But at times he would find some type of a cloudiness. In other words, the relationship that he desires to have with Allah Ta'ala, something is coming to affect him, right? Give you a simple explanation. And to get this cleared up, I would make istighfar. Allah Akbar.